Hello, footies, and thank you for joining us once again for Foot in Review, where we've been bringing you leading analysis and opinion on all things FIFA and EAFC since 2019. Today's show is proudly brought to you by footcoaching.com, your number one place for you to get better at FC24. Also, if you want to help support this show directly, please consider joining our Patreon at patreon.com/footinreview. You get a range of benefits, including exclusive merchandise, coaching discounts, and much, much more, including ad-free access to the show, which means you won't be hearing this very advertisement. However, we realise that times are tough, so simply leaving us a five-star review wherever you listen to us would be greatly appreciated, as it helps the show grow. We'd also like to thank our Skybox holder, Peter, for his exceptional support. Now, let's get to today's show. Hello, footies. Welcome along to your latest dose of FC24 Ultimate Team podcasting goodness. We are Foot in Review, powered by footcoaching.com. My name is Dan Wimbush. I am joined by the scout, Nathan Downs, for episode 598. We're recording this around lunchtime on Tuesday, the 26th of March. Thank you very much indeed for taking the time to join us. Lots to get into as Foot Birthday rolls towards its conclusion. You know, they're not quite kicking us out the door yet, but you can see the staff sort of lingering around the edge of the room with their bin bags getting ready to tidy up the party. But there's still lots to get into from a busy weekend. Plenty of good SBCs for us to mull over, given our views about whether you should be completing them or not. And we've got a bumper mailbag as well, with things ranging from what kind of SBCs should I be doing to get back into this game after a long time away, thoughts on shorter friendlies, and much more. Plus, we will be giving our views on a rather interesting climax to the E-Prem event and much, much more. But Nath, big question for you, my friend. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me back on again. Stepping into our good friend Shaq's shoes while he's out and about. But no, looking forward to talking all things Foot. It's been quite a mixed week or so, including some co-op with yourself, some co-op with John, which I'll apologise to the Discord guys that I had an absolute tantrum when I wasn't playing well and stormed away, and my birthday party was over for a good few hours at that point. But looking forward to getting into it today.
Hey, it's your party. You can cry if you want to. Look, as I said, loads to get into. Of course, we've got a tweet that did the rounds as well, apparently showing a big drop-off in numbers of players. We're going to be explaining why it's not all as it seems as well. So before we get into all of that, I want to jam through content really, really quickly, Nate. Loads of great SBCs out at the moment. A couple of fullbacks, big focuses of attention. First of all, we had Karchawi getting a twin version SBC, of course, the five-star weak foot versus a five-star skill move version. I looked at this, and I think this just falls into the category of, we've had so many good left-backs lately. There was just nothing, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the card, but there just wasn't quite enough to make me think, yeah, I need to really fit this player into my team.
100%. I mean, this goes into some of my content rage at the moment, is we have so many left-backs at the moment. And to be fair, we do have quite a few right-backs, but left-backs in terms of releases of the squads, SBCs especially, it's a bit overkill because you can only play one left-back, or sometimes they have that alternative position. But so many good players in there. And like you say, she's fine. She's very fast. She looks a bit of an all-rounder, physicality a bit low. It's a skip from me just purely because I think there's better alternatives out there as well. Nothing wrong with the card itself, just a bit meh compared to some of the other options.
Yeah, look, we've talked about this in, you know, over the last couple of months when we've been talking about player reviews, both me and you, and when I'm on with Shaq as well. We're not raining on the parade of these cards. It's just when you look at it for 650k compared to what you've probably already got, is there an overwhelming reason to go out and get this card? Probably not, unless you really need the links for one reason or another. Of course, you've got Tchouaméni out, so that helps. And Frank Ribéry being out as an SBC as well, this might help you sort of all get that nice synergy of chemistry in your team. But the weak star version, which is technically the weak foot version because it's got a weaker star. So, you know, I've talked myself into a new phrase there. But the weak star version is the one I would be going for. It is the slightly more expensive one, though. It's around 650,000 coins compared to 550,000 coins for the skill move, five-star skill move version of the card. So they're both out there. And while we're talking about kind of luxury cards, we'll come on to the other fullback in a second. But when we talk about luxury cards, I think this Hagi card, this Hagi icon card, Nate, again, just falls into that slot. It's around 500,000 coins. Very, very good card. Is it worlds better than the cards like Zico that a lot of players already have? Again, I'd probably say not massively.
No, I don't think he'll do you wrong while he's in your squad. I think he's fine. But again, you know, just to be that negative Nelly. We had Haji the last few years as well. Like, there's plenty of icons that haven't had SBCs and hadn't been sort of souped up and juiced like they could be. I think it'll be good fun. The Deadpool playstyle plus for me is always fun. I really like that. But again, there's plenty of other options out there. The Romanian nationality, although it's an icon, the Romanian nationality is not going to do much for other players you're trying to bring in. But yeah, if you've got 500k fodder of dupes somehow, you'd definitely do a job. But I don't think this is one that you'd really say to anybody, go out and you must do.
Yeah, again, without being too cliche, very fun card, certainly won't do you wrong. And if you are in that market for an upgrade in your camp, and look, even if you've just been using Zico for a long time, and I just compared the two, but and you just want to change, this card is not going to let you down at all. And everything is so craftable at the moment. We've got the 84 by fives, we've got the 80 plus player pick. You've got rewards coming out of the cut, these boosted rival rewards. It's not really going to cost you anything. It's just a case of whether you're someone that a bit, I know you're a bit like me, Nate. We're players that like to hold on and really hoard that fodder until there's a big card that comes out. And that works to my advantage because I've just been able to go out and do Claude Makélélé and Tchouaméni without breaking a sweat or, you know, spending any. I think I spent maybe 50k between those two cards because I have been avoiding things like gamble SBCs. I haven't been going after some of these more fun cards. So, but if you want to do it from scratch, it's probably not even going to cost you four, six, you know, a few days of gameplay and you get it done pretty easily.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll go on to what we're talking about later on, but it's fine. I managed to do much like you, but I didn't do Makélélé. I did Roberto Carlos as well, which didn't cost me anything, but it's, you know, when you mentioned at the opening about drop-off, it makes the games a lot harder. So I'm very much in the mindset now that it's got to come straight into my team and improve my team massively compared to just being a touch-up because, you know, Div 1 rivals, you don't get nothing for a slight improvement. It's kind of got to be the missing link that you're needing to elevate your game. So this, I don't think, elevates my game. But if you played him, probably Central Cam would be amazing because of the five-star, the passing, the shooting, the pace. I think it's well-rounded if you use them in the right direction, right position, sorry. But again, like we were saying, I just think there's other options that, you know, either hold your fodder for a rumoured massive La Liga SBC that's coming, or, you know, there's certain other cards out there that could potentially be more worthwhile.
Yeah, exactly. And look, we're getting to the stage of the game as well where you really can build, and the key phrase of this entire game mode is ultimate team. And to me, I admired Haji as a player, but never really massively connected with him. So I don't see a particular reason to go out and do this. You know, there are lots of cards you can Evo to get up to kind of these levels now with these juiced up foot birthday Evos as well. You know, you've been playing with my team. I've got a couple of Reading players back into the fold and hoping to get another couple in as well before the end of this promo, if not shortly afterwards. So look, again, never going to knock EA for putting these kind of SBCs out there. I love that it's affordable and it is an icon. So please go out and complete it if you want to. Before we talk about Reece James, just very quickly, there was another showdown with Limbombe against Forbes. Again, this is an Eredivisie contest, not a real life one. But Nath, both these cards, just fodder, but you know, they might be useful for the cup.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've completely glanced over them. I've not even done any of them. It might be worth doing just to get a bit of high rated fodder, but most of the fodder is quite low in price anyway, so it's not one of those must go out and get. But if you're needing that Belgium Portugal link, then maybe. But again, it's not something that, you know, that's a must do.
I mean, we think Forbes is all but certain to win. I think they've got a very much stronger Eredivisie side, Ajax. So, you know, that could be an 89. Again, if you still held on to that Evo as well, you know, you could turn this into a 90 rated card that's 5-star skill moves, 4-star weak foot. And then you're looking at, you know, shooting above 90, pace 95, his dribbling will be around 93, 94, his passing. So it'll actually be a fantastic card to put in. I'm actually more talking myself into this, but I've done the Evo since. And again, I'm using players that I really want to use. But if you are, and I know we've got a question later, I mentioned about someone that's coming back to the game. Again, great kind of card if you're looking for an RTG, or even if you're just looking for a fodder dump. You know, this is only going to cost you 34k to do, and it will turn into, it's almost certainly going to be an 89 rated card. So that's one to do. But let's get to the big one, Nath. Reece James. We had a question from Neurozic, who, of course, is part of our fantastic Discord. The Discord is open for all. The link to it will be posted on the show notes, or of course you can message us on our socials, Foot Coaching, should you want to track us down. He's asked a question. Is Rhys James a must-do for the price? The key question, I think, just taking price out of the equation, Nath, I know you've already done this card. Did you do this card because of the price, or did you do it because you just think it's a cracking-looking card?
Neither. I did it out of dupes from doing Chimini, to be honest. we had a chat last night. I've been rocking Cafu there, which everyone seems to have. So Cafu's my defensive fullback. On the other side, I have Roberto Carlos as my attacking one. But James has always been a bit OP in FIFA iterations, so I was very, very tempted regardless. What's nice, he's got whip pass and jockey play style pluses, but his also play styles are, you know, incisive pass, long ball, block, bruiser, relentless, long throw. So he's got the right sort of play styles you want for, even if you do keep him a bit more defensive. I think I've put an anchor on him to just, you know, increase that speed a little bit and the physicality. I think for 180k, he is a must do. I really do think so. If you can link him in, I think he's excellent. So far, he feels very good. I like the whips pass for your crossings. I think he's a very good all-rounder. I don't think he'll do you much harm at all. I think if you've got 180k, he's only two teams as well. I think it's an 87 and 86. So most of these, if you do a couple of these 84 times fives, you'll have there or thereabouts anyway. So definitely one to look out for, and I would recommend on the very limited game time I've had using him.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think if you've got any intention of going down a Prem route, of course, Prem Tot's only going to be a matter of weeks away. Perfect card to stash into your club. Very versatile. He's going to hold his own through the next couple of months. Like you said, for an 86 and 87 squad, just seems like a bit of a no-brainer to me. It's, you know, is he going to be that much of an upgrade on the likes of Cafu or Pedro Porro? Probably not a great deal, but I think the links will be more helpful. Being English and Premier League, of course, Porro, Spanish and Premier League, maybe a bit of a wash, and Cafu's got the icon, so maybe his links aren't better. But I'm more talking in sort of the bigger picture. If you are running at Prem side, it will give you a big hand. So great price as well from EA. They could have easily priced this card in the kind of Cuadrado range, but they've kept it reasonable. So yeah, that gets a massive thumbs up from me, Nath.
Absolutely, yeah. And from my time using Porro, I think he actually feels night and day ahead of Porro, to be fair. Not so much with Cafu, because everybody knows that Cafu's a bit of a brick wall when he's defending and he's really hard to get past. But I think he's a big improvement on Porro, even though, you know, face stats, you might not look at it and say, yes, he is. But just the general feel in games is definitely better.
But Porro does have a one more plus one coming probably on Wednesday. And should Tottenham put four goals past Luton, he might be getting another plus. So he could be a plus two on that one. So don't write off Senor Pedro Porro just yet, my friend. Don't write him off. And of course, he gives you that Werner link, which most, I think, judging by my weekend league, I think 95% of the player base runs Werner up front. So there you go. Just quickly on the other content bits and pieces, we did have a mini release. Not much to really shout about on this one. Most of the players are already at discard value. Hugo Sanchez got a twin icon version. He's hovering around about 300k. And there was a Casemiro card that came out that's nearly 400k. Five-star version, Nathan. You like this card as a bit of a sleeper.
Yeah, I do. I think Casemiro in FIFA, he's another one like James that always kind of plays fairly well. I've packed him. I've not used him yet because I was doing Chimini, but he's got bruiser plus and long ball pass, so he can sit deep and sort of spread the play. His passing's pretty decent, to be fair. He's got 90s shot and long passing. He's always pretty good. Five-star is really nice as well. So while I'm not saying he's elite level, he definitely isn't, you know, God tier. But if you need a Brazilian link, Prem link, or, you know, a bit of a fan of Casemiro, who I was before he joined United as well, kind of going off him now, he's at United, to be fair, even though that's my team. But I do think that, you know, if you do pack him, you can use him and he's not going to let you down, I don't think, at all.
Yeah, I just don't like too many of those face stats are in the low 80s rather than the mid to high 80s. And it's, again, it just screams at that card that as soon as Tots comes out, we'll be out of there. But yeah, look, I don't think it's going to be a bad option for the next couple of weeks. But and of course, the only other things really to talk about content-wise, the cup is back. Shorter halves. And we've got a question about this again in the mailbag from the same man. In fact, Nero asking, you know, he quite likes the shorter matches, squad battles and friendlies. Do you think it will come to rivals and champs too? Before we answer that question specifically, have you been enjoying the cup so far, the Foot Birthday Cup?
Can't say I've enjoyed it. I've been doing it. I did it for the XP. I think I did it yesterday and today, so I'm 5 wins in so far. Played my 10 games just this morning. It's fine. I've had to tweak formations because it's, you know, because it's short halves. You see, people seem to try and go really aggressive. So I've adopted your favourite formation, Dan, the 4-2-2, which seems, although, you know, John, our founder, our leader, doesn't like 2 CDMs. I think in the cup, it's quite a good thing to have. And then you can sort of spray it forward. The rewards are definitely worth it in terms of the packs you get back. The players that you get from these packs, you know, aren't probably going to be that much worth it. But the cup's fine. The shorter halves, I agree with Nurizic. I think the shorter halves is definitely a bonus. Same with squad battles. Although you do sometimes, it's the first time I've kind of thought, oh, I could have done an extra couple of minutes in this game. You know, both sides have scored in the last few minutes and conceded in the last few minutes, and you feel like the game's over before it starts. So sometimes that can be good, and it can also go against you. But I am a fan. I don't think it'll go into Rivals. I quite like Rivals that it can be a little bit more tactical. You sort of find in these shorter games that it is a little bit more hell for leather. Whereas I think in Rivals, although, you know, it gets sweaty in certain divisions, but I quite like that you can actually play a bit more football or try and play a bit more football.
I'd kind of like a nice balance between the two. I think 6-minute halves are too long for things like Weekend League and Rivals. 3 is too short. So I would go to 5. I think Pez used to have 5-minute halves back in the day, and that felt right. And it feeds back into, you know, topics we've been talking about over the past few weeks, of this whole feeling of when you've played a game like that, especially Rivals, and you've ended up with a draw or defeat, you're sat there thinking, I've spent 20-odd minutes, and what have I got for it? Even if you just take, you know, the equivalent of that, maybe reduce it down sort of 3 or 4 minutes cumulatively, I think this makes a big difference. Get through games quicker. You know, if you've had a negative experience, you can try and get to your next positive. And if you've had a positive experience, again, you can get onto that next one quicker. So I'd like to see a kind of next tier, or maybe just run. We've discussed this idea in the past, things like having a Champions League, Europa League, Conference League version of Weekend League. You get to pick which one you enter. And maybe, you know, one of those versions is shorter halves or something like that. So just giving people more choice, different play modes is better. I certainly like it in friendlies. It's making the fact that I've got to play skill-based matchmaking in Division 2, and I know you're in Division 1, it's making that little bit easier. And also the 10-game limit, much better. You're finding the very, very best players have already got through their games. I mean, we're into day 3 or 4 of this cup now. So, and they only need, what, 10, 11 wins, I think, to get the best rewards, Nath?
10 wins, I think, is enough.
10 wins. So most of the very best players, considering they've had a chance to play 30, 40 games, have got them. So now it's, I think I was talking to you the other day, it's the dregs versus the dregs, which is where me and you can try and compete. So again, big thumbs up for that on the EA front. I don't expect to see such generosity repeated in the main competitive modes, but I wouldn't be against certainly a little bit of a reduction. Look, we've got lots still to get into. We're going to be talking, speaking of competitive, we're going to be talking about the EPREM final and one of the most symptomatic goals of this entire game you will ever see. You couldn't have picked a more fitting goal to settle it. We're going to also be talking about that tweet that came out trying to show, should I say, I can't even use my words. I've been up since 2:30 a.m. this morning. Please excuse me, folks. That suggested that player numbers have dropped 60% in the game. We're going to explain why that tweet was erroneous and why, but that it did actually show something that is useful. Plus, lots more questions in the mailbag and much more, all after this short break.
Hello, everyone. No ads from us to make money this time. We want to give back. In honor of our 600th episode, we are publishing that on April the 2nd. We are giving away a special edition Foot in Review anniversary esports jersey. We'll give away 2 or 3 during the show itself, but we're also donating to the Macmillan Cancer Support, and we are aiming for the magical number of £600 or euros. We've added a link in the show notes where you can donate directly to the cause, and you'll see a list with all the donations so far. So you can be sure that's where we'll donate at the minimum. Foot Coaching will also do their part by donating directly from all sessions booked through footcoaching.com until April the 1st. So thank you for supporting us through 600 episodes of Foot and Review, and help us support the Macmillan Cancer Support by donating through the link in the notes.
Nath, we've been there. We've been watching a key cup final, a big game comes down to the final seconds and a big dramatic goal goes in. The commentators go wild, just agony, despair and joy. But if you were watching the E-Prem final, unless of course you were on the Man City or Brighton teams, you were probably just laughing at seeing the winning goal at this tournament. If you've not seen it, just type it into X or YouTube. Not begrudging the quality of the winners. I didn't watch much of this event, Nath. I don't even want to do it for the packs anymore. No disrespect to the competitors. It's just, I've got other things that I could be watching. I've seen enough of it so far this season. And I did enjoy it, the series they had earlier in the year, but this wasn't for me. But this goal, goalkeeper jumps up, palms the ball up in the air, two defenders then fall over each other. Haaland is able to just, I think it's Haaland anyway, just nods home for the winning goal in one of your showpiece marquee events of the year. Just showing the absolutely useless AI on show. Take it away, my friend.
Yeah, it's a bit of a sickener if it was to happen to you. It's the sort of things that, you know, controllers, consoles, laptops, whatever you play on, would get launched out the window. It's really hard because I try to stay away from, you know, I criticize EA in terms of the menus, but I usually quite enjoy the game, like, even if it's sweaty and I do have my own internal rage. But the guy, you know, Haaland gets the initial header, which I know that card itself's been banned, I think, in certain competitions because of the playstyle plus with his size and stuff. But, you know, he does everything you want him to from the attacking sense, but the keeper makes a decent save. The fact that there's two of them then roll over the goalkeeper at the same time, it's a bit of a farce. And then I think the guys at EA must be holding their heads as well, sort of saying this is getting broadcast to, you know, it was going out on their YouTube and the Twitch, I believe. So it was getting broadcast to a lot of people, and obviously it went viral on social media as well. And it does, it sort of simplifies what's wrong with the game. You know, the other sort of 89 computerized minutes could have been, you know, the most perfect free flowing attacking defensive football. And then it's summed up by a winning goal like that. It's, you know, it's quite mortifying if you're kind of one of those guys there to be watching that or to be involved in that, going like, what is this? Like, it's no, the skill. Okay, it was a decent cross in, and you know, you use Haaland how you use Haaland. So that was skillful, if you like. But there was no skill in the way the ball ended up in the back of the net. Like, it was just a calamity.
I'm not even going to say, I'm going to be brutally honest, I don't even think there was that much skill getting the ball in. If you watch the little build up to it, I think it was at least a couple of corners near post. And I've been noticing it in week. I don't know if you've been noticing it in Rivals of Weekend League as well. These near post balls in to the big man. Corners are causing me such problems at the moment because the defensive AI just doesn't seem to know how to deal with them. So look, it just showed off the worst of the game. And, you know, it's impossible to take it seriously. Like you said, it's not a free-flowing, silky goal that makes you go, I want to play FC 24 to be able to try and recreate that goal. It is a shaking your head moment of, that's exactly why I play to 7 wins and I play to 11 wins or whatever your sort of wheelhouse is in Weekend League. Because when the game betrays you like that, anyway, I think enough said about that. But it does kind of lead into what we teased earlier, talking about this tweet that showed or claimed to show that there was a 60% drop off in player numbers from FIFA 23 to FC 24. Now, this, of course, went viral. It was a spreadsheet in another language. I think it was in Spanish originally. So people just took it at face value and it did show a 60% drop off. However, it transpired that all of the spreadsheet was showing was the amount of games registered by Footbin for players that had been traded on the market. So basically, it's only counting games played by players that have been transferred. And of course, they are only tradable players. And the big thing is, we all know that FC 24 has moved remarkably towards the untradable model with things like Evo. So none of your Evos would count. None of your first owned players, untradables, will count in it. So on the surface, Nath, I think 60% drop off, a 60% shift towards untradables is pretty much what I would have expected.
Yeah, at least. I mean, the amount of times you load up your games now and it's all first owners, and, you know, we're not saying that people haven't bought these through the store packs or whatnot, but the majority of squads are, you know, 11 first owner players or 10 first owner players. And, you know, as you're massively into your market. This year's killed my kind of hunger for trading as much. But we both know that the market has been absolutely killed because your players are either really, really affordable, but they're not going to improve you, or the top end players are extinct for 6 months or out, like just so far out of your reach. So it does demonstrate that the market is very quiet. And most, I'd imagine this isn't coming from any sort of proof or evidence, but I'd imagine the majority of players bought are for SBCs. So you buy them, you chuck them straight into an SBC to do whatever player. However, we were talking before, Dan, and it does feel a little bit like there has been a drop off. And again, this isn't based off anything apart from every game in every mode seems to be a bit of a sweat now, whether it's weekend league, you know. I did weekend league for the first time in a while. I just played to my 9 wins, and then gave up because of time constraints. But every game was a battle. I think I was 1-2, 1-3 to begin with, and yeah, it's just there's no casuals really. It seems left. There's nobody there that can't play the game. So that's how people maybe get this idea of a drop off, whether it's factually accurate or not. You know, maybe people are learning the mechanics, people are getting better at the game, and it's just a harder game. But definitely feels like there's no many casuals left. And like you said before, skill-based matchmaking maybe does make you feel like that because you're kind of in the division with your kind of level.
Yeah, and look, there's no real way to track player numbers. The only kind of semi-official metric we have to track player numbers is through the Steam charts. Now, again, this is a very small sample, but if you compared FIFA 23 to FC 24 in January of 2023, there were 59,500 players playing FIFA 23. Compare that to January 2024, that number drops by 13,000 players to 46,900. February, there were 37,000 players on average playing FC 24. However, if you go back to February 2023, that number is 48,000. So just PC, just on Steam, and of course, lots of people may have just picked up consoles and things like that. So it's impossible to say for sure. But the numbers on PC have certainly dropped a large amount. You're looking at what, nearly, you know, 10, 10, 15, 20% drop off now. So it does kind of lead weight. Plus, said with the kind of opposition you're facing, it does kind of lead a bit of weight. It's just there has been a drop-off in players.
Yeah, I'd fully expect there to be a drop-off. And, you know, there does seem to, even, you know, on social media, there's a bit of a malaise towards the game at the moment, whether it's, you know, as we've touched on, the fact that some of the menu grind's a bit lazy in terms of the players coming. They're all left-back, so they're all players that have had countless promos before. Even, I think somebody had done this evolution of Salah through this iteration, and Salah's been good, but he's not been the best player on the planet by any means. And he's got about 8 promo cards or 8 special cards at the moment, which is wild. So it just seems there probably will be a natural drop off. But again, we're what, a month away from TOTS, maybe 4 or 5 weeks from TOTS. There generally seems to be a drop off, and then a lot of people will come back for TOTS because it's very easy to craft either, you know, your RTGs, your second teams, your people coming back for these super cool cards. You know, the grind's real at the moment. The menu grind is never ending, which is good and bad. But people may be using this as a way to take a wee step back from the game, and then, you know, they'll come back. So I wouldn't read too much into it. I think it's probably natural, and to be fair, the state of the game at the moment, it probably is quite a normal time for folk to kind of take a wee step back from it.
Yeah, I mean, again, using those same Steam charts as an example, if you go back to FIFA 23, again, the March number, which we don't have yet for FC 24, of course, but the average March number was around 39, just under 40,000 on FIFA 23. It then jumps up back to 48,000 in April, which is, of course, when TOTS starts, and then drops off steadily, goes down to 44, then 40, right through the summer until the new game comes out. So, again, you do get that group of people coming back. But I just, again, this is so anecdotally, but I just don't sense as much hype around this game. And I do get the sense that there's a lot of people that are just burnt out and over it, that they don't find. And you can see it in the top content creators. They're openly saying, and I've never seen this level and this amount of content creators just saying, yeah, the game's just not that good this year. And while, look, I've enjoyed it enough to be still be playing it, I will be. I don't think I'm going to look back at this one, Nathan, and have a lot of nostalgia for the gameplay at least.
Yeah, but it's hard because there was such a hype about it becoming FC24. You know, the women's game being incorporated, which to be fair, has been pretty good, I think. But there was also, you know, this big build up about how this is going to be like the showpiece, and you know, EA are really going to let go at it now. And I think we've touched on it in the past. There's been quite a lot of money grabbing, everything going untradeable, these ridiculous store packs, similar players. I think there's lots of it that we've kind of thought, maybe, you know, it would be wonderful if we were in the position that we can make these decisions, but you would probably do things differently yourself. The mistakes are still there. So not to be a negative Nelly, which I know I'm coming across as, but I think with the hype, and we all got super excited to begin with, it's not really delivered. But that being said, I'm still really enjoying it. My team's pretty good now. I'm enjoying the gameplay. I'm in a division where I probably should be because I'm kind of winning and losing the same amount, and it's obviously annoying when you're losing. But at the same time, I think, you know, I can't really complain it too much. But I just think it's not quite kind of the wow factor, and it's not pushed on to previous iterations of, you know, FIFA. I think we've not had that next step to be like, oh my God, let's go and we need to do this. We need to play that. You know, it's very similar to what we've had in the past.
It's not addictive gameplay. It's gameplay that will keep you going, but it's not addictive. I can't wait to play my games. It's more like, oh, I'll play some games. You know, it's just, you know, you don't score that many different variety of goals. It is harder to build up and play flowing football. You do see the same kind of goals. As mentioned about the Prem final, you do see nonsense AI that just makes you, you know, bang your head against the desk. It's just a game. It's there. The menu content, I think, has been up there with any game that we've, certainly since I've been back in this sphere in Ultimate Team. It's fantastic. Can't knock it at all. But yeah, the gameplay wise, there's a lot that they need to, I think, work on for FC25. Of course, if you are a member of the Discord, you can join this show as we record live. Wardsman, one of those to do so. He says, I've used maybe 5 tradable players all year. And he also points out there are so many more players in the game, but still they've managed to make the same promo cards over and over again. Like you said, Nate, like Salah. And again, EA are kind of in a stuck between a rock and a hard place with those, because those are the players that sell packs. Ultimately, people see a Salah, a Neymar, Ronaldo, Mbappe, and go, oh, I want to buy a pack. As soon as you try and make a Xerxes or someone like that, nobody's that interested. It's just the way it is. And I have some sympathy for that. And I think the ultra competitiveness helps dissuade people from trying out the lesser known players, because, you know, why would you be giving Xerxes a run when you're having to sweat for your life in Rivals? You know, there's just, as we've, other content creators and ourselves have been saying, there needs to be that mode where the pressure's off. You can much more try these different names as opposed to going into Weekend League and thinking, oh, I need Mbappe to break down these defences. Do you know what I mean?
100%. And, you know, we've said it in the past, but the perfect place for that is this cup. You know, if they're going to limit your cups to 5 games, 10 games, whatever, I know it's 10 just now, open up the matchmaking so you will have a sweat fest for, you know, 3 out of the 10, but you can also have more achievable games for 4, 5, 6 games as well. So I think that's the way to do it. I think that would make people more fun. The only good thing about the cups is they're, well, not the only thing, the rewards are very good, but you are capped at 88 rated players, but everyone seems to have an 88 rated Vieira, which I must have missed somewhere.
He's
in pretty much 90% of the teams. You do get similar players, but I think it's quite good the fact they are trying to mix it up. But you know, the matchmaking's just, I don't know, we're like a dog with a bone for this, aren't we, Dan? Because we would like that sort of, you know, feet up, let's go and enjoy the game and try something different.
Mate, you've not mentioned the best thing about the cup. Virgil van Dijk is not in it. The best thing, no gold Virgil. All of you people that have been holding on using your gold Virgils for 6 months, no Virgil for you. I'm 100% bitter and irrational on it, but yeah, I just love not playing Virgil van Dijk. Let's move through some of the other questions in the mailbag then. Moving on to Adama, he says, hey lads, I've been enjoying a lot of the big lads recently. Tchouaméni, Socrates, Bastoni, the new Blanc. Not really abusing the crosses to giants though, he says. But my question is, who would win in a match between all the giants versus a team of mini-me's in an epic David versus Goliath battle? assuming those playing had the same skill level. So what would you rather be doing? Would you rather be taking on Sorloth, Haaland and the gang? Or would you rather be taking on Messi, Kirby and co?
Oh, giants for sure. Absolute giants. I love nothing more than getting crosses in. Like, not the sweaty cutbacks, but I love a cross. I always have. I think since I've been back playing FIFA, I've tried to have some sort of crossing option. So I'm playing the 90-rated Cantona up top at the moment, who's decent in the air. I'm being stingy, not buying anybody, but I love, you know, subbing on Hemp just to put that cross into Cantona, which is why I also like having my fullbacks that can have that whip pass. So I would 100% go for crosses. That being said, I think if people are a better level than me, which there's millions of them, I think you probably do a lot more damage with the sort of nippy smaller.
Yeah, I was going to say the smaller more nimble players would probably win if you've got good left stick dribbling, if you're handy with R1 technical dribbling, because they're the players that give me the most trouble because I am a more physical defender. You know, I've got two big guys. I love the bruiser plus play style. I find it much harder to get the ball off of the players that do R1 dribble really, really well, as opposed to players that, you know, try going toe-to-toe. I'm much more happy with my manual defending and stepping in, as opposed to trying to chase them around and be really patient with the jockey. So I think, again, it depends what the same skill level is the answer to that question, Adam. I know I'm sitting on the fence there, but I think it is very situational. But an interesting one. Maybe we'll get the guys to do that when they go to Crete for the big meetup. We'll have to get them playing the David versus Goliath lineup. So thank you for the question. Nick says, are chem styles still worth applying? And any advice on where to put my 84 fodder? Nath, chem styles?
Absolutely. Yeah. Agreed. I mean, we've seen even like Tchouaméni, given that we sprint boost, tremendous. Carlos put an anchor on him, boost his strength, tremendous. I think until you get into tots, when you get into tots, you generally don't really need chem styles because they're all that good. But right up until those sort of final versions of cards, I think you do need certain areas, which is why most of especially the cards that we'll all be finding attainable, you know, unless you get those Pelés, or I know you've got your Messi, which probably might need an anchor for his strength. But, you know, when you get those top ends, maybe not. Cheeky Hawk, there you go. But yeah, I think the majority of them do. Sorry, John's just trying to call me. Hung up on him.
Unbelievable. The boss.
I know. Middle of the pod. Make a clone call. I think he's trying to get a wee guest appearance, I think. But 84s, if they're not dupes, just hold them. If they are dupes, what I've started to do is I've been putting them into the 83 plus Team of the Week upgrades. I know Team of the Weeks aren't overly expensive just now, but at the same time, it's you can never have too many Team of the Weeks, and you can still pull the odd usable one from that. So that's what I would do. But Dan, you're more of a menu market guru. What would you do with yours?
Mate, I think you've nailed it, to be honest. I've been doing that. I think the Team of the Week picks are great because, of course, we've been needing them for a lot of the upgrades. I'm sure the 83x10 will be back soon and they need them. And there might well be a repeatable hero or icon grind out again. Of course, you remember that repeatable icon pick made, you know, Team of the Weeks go to 40-odd K and we're extinct. And plus, even if you're just doing the normal grind at the moment and you're not too concerned about the future, a lot of the time from those Team of the Week picks, you're getting 86, 87, 88 rated cards that you can just chuck into the exchange. You also get two tradable packs by doing them as well. And you never know, you know, you get a mixed players pack. And I think it's a small Electrum players pack or something like that that's got 3 gold, 3 silvers. You never know what's going to pop out of there. And it is a way to just, even if you are just focusing on untradables, it is a way of just occasionally getting a, you know, a walkout or pop out. And suddenly you've made 20, 30K or maybe something even bigger. And, you know, you've made some coins. So, yeah, that's where I would be saying to put your 84s right now. Moving on, Hocking asks, he said, question, I've been away for a few months and I'm thinking of dipping my toe back into the water. Are there any must-do SBCs I should look at completing to get my team back to a competitive level? I've got 200K and high-rated fodder. Keep up the good work. I've been listening even while not playing, but starting to get that casual itch back. Well, thank you very much for the kind words. Now, he's given us his team here, Nath. There is one hole in it so far in Central Striker, but otherwise, I think this is a really good team at the moment. I mean, he's got Werner Foot Fantasy, Julie's Foot Fantasy card. He's got Roy Keane's Winter Wild card, George Best Team of the Year icon, Marquisio Base Hero, Company Base Hero. He's got Rhys James at right back, Thunderstruck Casillas in goal, Millie Bright Team of the Year at centre back, And he's got, who's that left back? It's an evoed version of Capdevielle, I think. Capdevielle's hero, yeah. 91 evolution. Nathan, if I faced that team in weekend league, I would still be thinking that's a very strong team as it is. But is there any players right off the bat that are available right now that you would say for someone with 200k and not a lot of fodder? He says he has got some high-rated fodder, but in talking circumstances, anyone you would be thinking out of the players available, go out and do them?
Well, obviously, there's not a striker in the striker position, so potentially that. The other one I would be saying is probably Keane Marchisio. Your centre mids may need upgrading then. I've got that Keane. I've then ended up going to the new version of it. It'll be at the five-star skill moves. And you know, the 90-rated Keane's very good. And I think he's about 100. He's probably about 100-ish K just now. Marchisio, because it's the base one, he's probably a little bit behind the curve. So they're the two that I would probably focus on. That being said, they'll still definitely do a job. I've seen Hawkins... games. I've watched him a few times and he'd definitely be able to do some damage with that team anyway. But yeah, sort of centre mid, your Makaleli, I know he's 600k, but it depends how much FOD you've got. I would definitely recommend replacing your two centre mids. What would you say sort of you stand out for that one?
I would go out and get either a Makaleli or a Tchouaméni, maybe even both, to go and get the team. I think, you know, we're going to talk about him in a minute because he's my player in review for the week, but I think Tchouaméni is excellent. Gives you that versatility as well to be able to put him in at centre-back or go plug him into CDM as well. Again, so I think Socrates would be a half-decent shout as well if you do want to go big on that one. Even someone, if you wanted to go for someone on a cheaper budget that would sort of get you competitive quite quickly, I think that Fernando Torres wins a wild card would do a half decent job as a striker. Again, if you wanted to go even bigger, you can play Werner quite easy through the middle and go get that Frank Ribery card out wide. But look, I think if you're somewhere with a team like that, that is still very competitive. I don't think you need a lot, and I don't think it's going to need a lot of massive tweaks. It's all, as we talked about with Kashawe, I mean, Kashawe is a good shout to go and left back in as well instead of Capdevielle. There are so many players out there right now in SBCs that you can do that are very meta, that will go and do a good job. It's all just going to come down to your own personal preference, how you want to build the team, how you want to guide the team. So again, I apologize, this is a bit of a sitting on the fence answer. But yeah, I would definitely go out and do, I said, my top ones on there, I said, I'd either go get a Makaleli, or if you can afford it, I'd go and get Tchouaméni done.
Yeah, absolutely. That's like you say, it's not a million miles off. There's so many good ways of grinding players and cards. And even, you know, if your fodder allows it to do some of these upgrade packs as well, the 84 times 5 and such like, you're bound to get either high rated fodder or, you know, a few nice flares coming out of there. And some of these cards are very usable if underappreciated.
Yep, agreed. And look, I'll talk about Tchouaméni now. We'll do player in review. Because look, I think Tchouaméni is brilliant. I've been playing him as a stay-back CDM in a 4-2-2, and he's great at everything. He defends really well. His passing is fine. He's strong. Gets around the pitch very well. He does everything that you would want a stay-back CDM to do. I've not really used him in any other role so far, but I think... I can only compare him, well, most recently compare him to Makaleli. He's superior to Makaleli completely. But not that I think Makaleli is bad. I think I'd give Makaleli probably an 8 out of 10 so far. And Shu is getting a 9 so far, maybe a 9.5. Maybe that. I'm really trying to think what I don't like about him. And there's very little I can say, Nath. I mean, you've only just completed him, but you used him in co-op with me. I mean, what did you think of him?
Yeah, he's very good. The only thing is that he doesn't really have any passing play styles, which sometimes you kind of think, oh, and when he's paired next to Makaleli, that potentially could be a bit of an issue. But he's also very adequate with just his standard sort of basic passing. He's got that frame, so he's a cheaper version of Vieira, and the long legs come out really well. He's a bit of a unit to get past. I think he's very good, and I've got him. If I ever went to my five back that I've been playing until the last week or so, he's definitely the one that'll slot into centre back, because I think he'll be a bit of a handful as well. Plus the height, you can never do wrong with at least one sort of centre mid or CDM with a bit of height and physicality about him.
Yeah, I think he's 6'2", so he's definitely gonna win his fair share of balls in the air. So who is the player you've picked for player in review?
Yeah, so I've done Roberto Carlos, who's my attacking left back, who, just like Tchouaméni, I can't sort of think of anything that I don't like about him, apart from maybe his height on the other side of things. He's a bit small. He's about a mil, but I managed to do him without spending a penny. he's one of my favourite fullbacks of all time. And he was a bit of a must-do for me. I liked him all the way through the last year as well. The dead ball is tremendous. He just blasts it. You literally just hit it on target and it scores. he's so fun. He's got just the basic play, power shot, which is also fun from a random angle. He gets up and down well. He feels so much quicker than you think as well. And that long throw, which is a bit of a cheat as well, because people seem to still not understand that you can't be offside from a throw-in, so you can just put your big man like really far away and just throw up to him. So I think he's really good fun. The only thing is, if he had five-star skills, would be super-duper fun. But, you know, he'll be in my team till tots. Probably further into tots, unless I pack, you know, a top tier one, just because I really enjoy the card itself.
Yeah, I am very tempted, although I've just evoed base Ashley Cole. I've put him into the wing back evo, and he's 5-star skills Ashley Cole. New Hall of Famer Ashley Cole got placed in the Premier League Hall of Fame this week. And I think he's
quick
really
sell. Good. Quick sell.
Nah, he's good. He's good. There you go. Look, you even got Alexa on my side.
I see. Technology is not liking me today between John phoning and the Alexa going.
Shambles. Look, we are authentic in us. You know, what you see is what you get. And Wolfman says, teaching the American that you can't be offside from a throw-in.
There you go. Maybe we need to play against more Americans in weekend league to make that work.
The amount of people that do get caught out by the fact that I will just select my player and run him 10 yards offside, and they don't seem to think that I'm going to throw it there. I don't know whether it's because they don't realise he's offside or they think it's a trick, but it works far more than it should do. So if you are listening, remember, from a throw-in, you can't be offside. So there you go. Pro tip of the day for you. But I think that is just about going to wrap up the show. Episode 600 rapidly rolling towards us. It's 598. We're finalizing our plans for that 600 show, but we're going to make it worthwhile. Thank you, those of you. We are raising money for a very great cause in Macmillan Cancer Care. Thank you to those of you who've been inquiring and getting involved in those fundraising efforts. We'll have more information on that to come. Guys, we'll be back over the weekend as well with another show, number 599. New promo on the way, Nath. I believe it's called something like Galazzo?
Lots of strikers then.
Yeah, indeed. I just think of Football Italia with James Richardson.
Next Tuesday we'll introduce the show then to you just shouting that instead.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on it. But it looks as if it's going to be a promo that's similar to Trophy Titans from last year. If you remember that one, it was lots of icons and heroes that had big bro and little bro versions. So I would expect, just generally, you know, I talked in the intro about, you know, the party isn't over, but the staff are slowly making their way out with the bin bags. I would expect EA to drop off on the content front in this next promo, because the cycle we've seen all year, if you remember, after Team of the Year, of course, we had a real lull with Fire and Ice and Road to the Final. They can't keep us too hyped for too long. What they do is they tend to cool things down a bit to get people hungry and ready for tots. So I would not expect this next promo to be brilliant. I'd like to be proved wrong, but going through their usual pattern of things, I would expect things like pack weight to probably be down. Probably not that many crazy SBCs out there. So, and it'll be a good time maybe to step away, get yourself ready, because tots is going to be, you know, full on, and, you know, will completely transform our teams. So, and it's rapidly approaching. So look, the guys will be discussing all of that over the weekend show. Thank you so much for tuning in to us. Nath, where can people follow you online?
NG Downs on Twitter and in our fantastic Discord. I think I'm just as Nathan Downs, maybe NG Downs on that. I can't quite remember, but I'm in both anyway.
Yeah, I am Wimby or Wimby86 in most places. Thank you very much, everyone, giving me a follow. And of course, the following the socials at Foot Coaching. Remember, the Discord is open access now. But if you want to go that one step beyond, support us on Patreon to get things like exclusive tactics, the trading show, and lots of other goodies, including merchandise as well. Merchandise sent to you just for being a Patreon member. You get merch sent to you depending on your length of service. The Patreon cause. Of course, patreon.com/footinreview for that. Only one thing left to do, Nath.
Drop it.
We are going to drop it.
Drop it. You. You. F-U-T-T-T interview. F-U-T-T-T.